So we are going to start looking at a supervillain instead of a superhero today. We have been normally we've been doing superheroes. We've done guys like Batman and Spider-Man, and now we're doing, and we did Captain America and Thor, and now we're doing a supervillain, because God loves them too. We're doing Mr. Freeze in honor of this winter time in December. It just suddenly got really cold here in Missouri, and so I thought Mr. Freeze is a perfect person to talk about. Mr. Freeze, his actual name is Victor Freeze. He is a cryogenics expert. He deals with freezing things and not liquid nitrogen, that sort of stuff. And I'm sure I'm being very scientific when I say these things. But he has his wife, Nora Freeze, is terminally ill. And so ultimately he's in the cryogenics field to do something to help his wife, and ultimately there's an accident, and there are many versions in Batman. So there's so many universes in the Batman comics, and each one has a different origin story to how Victor Freeze gets his illness to where he can only be. He can only be in an area that is extremely cold, and therefore he makes a suit that keeps his core body temperature low. And that's why whenever you look up Mr. Freeze or you read about Mr. Freeze, he's in a suit. That's why he's in a suit. But ultimately, he puts his wife in a chamber that stays at a certain temperature, a cold temperature that allows her to live. In basically a coma, and as she's in there, he's doing other things to figure out how, like science experiments and other things, to see if he could cure her, and then ultimately she would come out of it and they could live happily ever after. The problem with this is he will do anything to get it done. If he needs something, he is like, he's willing to rob a store. If it's a secret governmental thing, he's willing to go there and destroy. And so ultimately he's doing a bunch of bad things, and he justifies it by going, I'm trying to heal my wife. And when I think about that, I think we as Christians do this a lot. We justify our sin plenty. We do this when we're driving. We get really angry. I even had a moment today where I had someone slam on their brakes in front of me to let a tractor trailer in front of them. And then they decided they changed their mind since the tractor trailer was going so fast. And they hit the gas, and they went ahead. Well, I almost rear-ended them, and then I'm the guy that got stuck behind the tractor trailer. And I was really angry. The thing was, is I justified my anger towards this person by the decision that they made, and not my own issues that I had dealing with in my own heart. We do this regularly. We do this with anger, impatience. Have you ever been in Walmart, and you have the person with their cart, they're the slowest person on the planet, and you go down an aisle and they're standing in the middle of the aisle and they are completely unaware of you. And your thing is probably like 5 feet in front of them, and all you need them to do is move to the side. Well, we justify our impatience by what they're doing. They're inconveniencing me, therefore my reaction is justified. We do this with lust. Guys, most of the time we'll go, man, I wouldn't have lusted if she wouldn't have worn that the way she wore it. I'm sorry, but that's on you, man. That's not on her. Yes, she probably shouldn't wear what she's wearing, but your eyes shouldn't be wandering where they're wandering. that's on you, bro. And so it's stuff like that. And I could go on whenever anxiety, insubordination, gossip, selfishness, bitterness. We do this all the time. And what's funny is, and it's not really funny, but it's one of those things where even in the beginning of the Bible, we see it. This is something that human beings have been dealing with since the beginning of time. Adam and Eve were created by God, and then ultimately, he tells them they can't eat of a certain tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, the serpent comes, he deceives them, and then they make a choice. Eve makes the choice, and then gives it to Adam, who then makes a choice, and they both eat of the tree. Well, in Genesis 3, starting at verse 8, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said," and here we go, this is the justification, "'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.'" It's funny that the woman sinned first, but when confronted, the man sins first. I think that's really intriguing. And so it's because the man was the one told not to do it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God told Eve. God told Adam. And I'm assuming that Adam relayed that message. And maybe God told her that at some point, but ultimately, God confronts Adam and he justifies his sin by blaming it on what she did. And not just her, but blaming it on God himself. "God, if you wouldn't have given me this lady, I wouldn't have ever sinned. It is actually your fault, God." And that's how he justifies it. Well, then he goes on and he says, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?'" So now he's confronting her. "And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" And the woman blames the serpent. We do this on a regular basis. And just like Mr. Freeze in the story of Batman, he justifies his sin by his experiences, by his situation, and we do the same. The problem with that is when we start justifying our sin ourselves, we're taking the power of Christ away in the sense of what he's done to justify our sins in our relationship with him. See, again, if we go to Romans or anywhere where it talks about when we live by the law, then Christ died for no reason. And so when we start justifying sin based off of our rules and experiences, we are then negating we're demeaning Christ's death on the cross. See, Christ ultimately is the one that justifies your sin before God. And so why do we want to do it ourselves when we've sinned? Why do we want to justify it ourselves? Well, I think, one, we don't want the blame. We never want the blame, right? We want to go away feeling good. We don't want the bad feeling. We want to be able to do what we want, no matter where we're at. And then ultimately, it's someone else's fault or it's the situation's fault. It's not our fault. And here's the problem with that. We're not trusting God. We are not leaning on Jesus' death on the cross. We're not going, "Okay, God, in this situation, I need to trust you to get me through it." See, I had no justification for how I felt with that person. And slamming on their brakes in front of me almost rear-ending them, me hitting that horn. I'm not justified in my own actions. I'm not. I sinned. I had an anger towards that person that was uncalled for. But if we look at 1 Corinthians 13 and we go, love is patient, love is kind, and we're called to love them, then we ought to act in love. And so therefore, how are you doing with the sin problems in your life, with different decisions you're making or have made? Have you come to grips with Jesus about those decisions? Have you allowed his death on the cross to justify those sins and ultimately clean you of those sins? Or have you repented? Have you said, you know what, this is my fault. This, what I've done is my bad, and I can't do that anymore. And we repent, and we turn from that sin, and we act differently as we walk toward God. How are you doing on that? What's your mentality when you run into a bad decision that you've made? And I encourage you to run to Jesus first off. Run to him and say, I am sorry that I did this. Not, I'm sorry that they did this and it made me do it. Sorry that I did this. God, I want to change. God, I want to be better and be more like you. I could say, if we really thought about it, Jesus had every right to just take out the people that put him on the cross. I mean, we think about as he's walking down there and getting tortured for nothing. He's done nothing wrong. And he's getting tortured to the point of death. We would go, yeah, if Jesus wanted to, I mean, he could have just like wiped them all out and been like, you know what, I've had enough. If they wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have had to do. But he didn't. What he chose to do is he got on the cross and he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that is the character that I want to emulate. And I hope you do as well.